the rest of the story. More than anything in the whole world, John wanted to be a concert pianist. There was just one problem. He had no apparent ability. John was 24, and he was still looking for a teacher who would not tell him to quit the piano. And his search led him to Vienna, where he had heard that there was a great teacher named Theodor Leschetizky, and surely if anybody could help John, this man could. Leschetizky received John cordially at his studio. He said, "Tell me something about yourself." And John related the rest of the story. He told of his early training. Age 12 he had begun. The teacher frowned. It was unthinkable that anyone serious about a concert career should begin his studies so late. 4 or 5 was the usual time that such lessons should begin. John interrupted. It was not as though he had been thoroughly unacquainted with the piano as a child. Prior to beginning his lessons at the age of 12, he had taught himself how to play, sort of. And that, thundered the teacher, is worse yet. Having learned incorrectly, it would be 10 times as difficult to cultivate an adequate technique. Well, John's heart sank. The great Leschetizky stroked his chin pensively and asked, "What did your teachers at the conservatory say?" John's gaze remained downcast as he spoke. The professors had said that there was no hope for John, had told him repeatedly that he had no talent, that no matter how hard he tried, he would never ever become a pianist. Well, Leschetizky attempted a sympathetic smile. Perhaps John should play something for him. And John rose slowly and approached the piano. He sat before it, and he played. The teacher stopped him before the piece was finished. "Something wrong?" John asked. "Something wrong? Was there anything right?" Glaringly wrong notes were still hanging in the air like suffocating smoke, and the rhythm, if indeed it could be called rhythm, and the general awkwardness. "No," said Leschetizky regretfully. John's former instructors were doubtless correct. John was hopelessly, astonishingly, almost magically untalented, and no teacher in the world could change that. But John pleaded with the great Leschetizky to accept him as a student. He promised to work hard, harder than any pupil the famous master had ever taught. John simply loved the piano too much to give it up. Well, anyway, after relentless entreaty, the teacher surrendered and said yes, he would do the best that he could with John, but no promises. Well, over the weeks that followed, the young man persisted in his studies with an intensity that almost frightened his new instructor. And while John never did learn to play the piano exceedingly well, at least by the standards of his contemporaries, he did learn to get by, to blunt if not smooth the rough edges, to make the classics accessible by cleverly rewriting and simplifying their more complicated passages. Other musicians and critics were never quite satisfied with John's playing, but the public came to admire him. Some even came to worship him because of qualities which had remained unrecognized by each and every teacher who ever tried to instruct him. The qualities of showmanship and personal magnetism. For because of those, John, whose most serious training began in his mid-20s, belatedly became the most publicized, the most revered, the most successful pianist since Franz Liszt. Now, you remember the career created by charisma and sheer determination as that of John, pronounced Jan, Ignaz Jan Paderewski. Only now you know the rest of the story.